Hare Krishna. Reading from My Glorious Master, Melbourne, 1974. A devotee is expert. Jagatarni brought her brother David and an actress friend, Michelle, to meet Prabhupada. We all went into Prabhupada's room and offered our obeisances as Jagatarni's brother handed Prabhupada a bouquet of flowers. Prabhupada began explaining how atheism is foolish, illogical, and untenable philosophical stance. We all listened, and David voiced his appreciation of Prabhupada's logic. Prabhupada had just received a new BBT publication, Sukhdamadas, A Scientific Basis of Krishna Consciousness. Prabhupada glorified the book and its author. He is not an ordinary man, Prabhupada said. He has double PhD, he is a scientist, and he is writing about Krishna. It is not just sentiment. Other devotees came into the room to listen. Prabhupada glorified the new book before them as well. Then a devotee offered Prabhupada a new woolen sweater. Prabhupada expressed his appreciation for the sweater's quality. Charu, sitting nearby, commented Prabhupada on the temporality of material objects, including the sweater. Prabhupada criticized Charu's way of thinking. No, that logic is not very good. Because it is temporary, we should see it is not good. No. These temporary things should be used in Krishna's service. Just like this girl, Prabhupada pointed to Michelle. She is beautiful. Should we say she is not beautiful? Or should she use her beauty in Krishna's service? Your logic is faulty. Saying that because it is temporary, it is not good. Amoga then bounded into the room, offered his obeisances, and handed Prabhupada a brocaded cloth as a gift. What is it? Asked Prabhupada as Amoga laid the cloth out on Prabhupada's desk. Amoga exuberantly explained that Prabhupada could protect his Srimad Bhagavatam by putting this cloth on the floor under his Bhagavatam. Prabhupada laughed. Oh, this is for reading my Srimad Bhagavatam on the floor. Yes, said Amoga. Prabhupada then picked up the cloth and held it out to Amoga. Smiling, he said, then this is for you. I don't read my Bhagavatam on the floor. My coming. Prabhupada was so expert in dealing with devotees and guests. He effortlessly combined a reprimand of Charu with the encouragement of a proud actress as he protected a philosophical point. Then he appreciated and reciprocated with Amoga's affection, but not with the practicality of his gift. Celibacy. Prabhupada sat with some disciples and spoke about the glories of celibacy. If one remains celibate from the ages of 16 to 21, his brain becomes so fertile for spiritual realization. Prabhupada stretched the O in the word so until it sounded four times as long. When he spoke the word fertile, his eyes opened wide and moved slowly around the room. As his eyes met the glance of one devotee after another, each devotee's head dropped as he remembered his crippling, improper actions during these formative years. A long pause followed. But, Prabhupada continued, if you chant Hare Krishna, everything will be all right anyway. My comment. Many devotees who come to the Krishna consciousness movement arrive crippled, having spent years disturbing their consciousness through abortive attempts at sensual pleasure. As the lame cannot run, such devotees often feel themselves limping along, struggling to advance. Prabhupada was aware of this, but he had full faith in the potency of Krishna's holy name. Devotees who feel themselves crippled should follow Prabhupada's instruction and unhesitatingly take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and the holy name in the mood of Sri Narottama Das Thakur. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Koro More Toma Bina He Dayalu Jagat Samsare Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatar Mosama Patita Prabhu Na Paibeyar. My dear Lord Chaitanya, you are most merciful. Who else within this world of birth and death can be as merciful as you? Your incarnation is to reclaim the most fallen souls, but you will not find a soul more fallen than me. My claim, therefore, is first. Associating with drunkards. Prabhupada lectured in Melbourne's town hall, and he seemed satisfied, although most of the seats remained empty. At the end of his lecture, Prabhupada called for questions. A young man raised his hand. How does one become sincere? How does one become a drunkard? Prabhupada replied, and then paused. If you want to become a drunkard, associate with drunkards. If you want to become sincere, associate with those who are sincere. He then pointed to the section of the hall where the devotees sat. You should associate with them. My comment. Even stalwart atheists like Hiranyakashipu acknowledge association as essential for progress in every field of activity. Quote, association acts upon the heart as it does upon a crystal. End quote. As a crystal reflects and takes on the colors of its surroundings, so the heart takes on the qualities of those with whom we associate. Prabhupada used the graphic example of becoming a drunkard to present the importance of pure association. By pointing to his disciples as sincere, he both acknowledged their sincerity and reminded them of their responsibility to remain unmotivated, reliable servants of their spiritual master. An interfaith dialogue. Bishop Kelly, the head of the Catholic Church in Victoria, visited Prabhupada in his cottage. As usual, Prabhupada sat on the floor. The bishop and his friend sat in chairs. The bishop was elderly and pious, and Prabhupada struck up an affectionate conversation with him. They spoke about the cold June weather and then about the loss of values in society. Prabhupada asked the bishop to examine the book, A Scientific Basis of Krishna Consciousness, for Krishna Consciousness, but the bishop didn't have his glasses. Prabhupada then lent him his own glasses, and the prescription perfectly suited the bishop. Prabhupada laughed, birds of the same feather. They discussed the perfect but covered nature of the soul, the importance of hearing Shastra to remove the covering, and the possibility of communing directly with God. Prabhupada clarified the bishop's fear that accepting the validity of subjective communication with God would increase the number of irreligious acts perpetrated in his name. Quote, God told me to do it, end quote, Prabhupada said. There is individual instruction, but that is subordinate. The general instruction is that one should be fully surrendered to God. That is the general instruction. Now, if one is fully surrendered in a particular case, in particular circumstances, God gives him instructions what to do. According to circumstances, he gives them. But general instruction is there, and that is recorded in Scripture. That general instruction must be followed. One cannot say God is dictating through me something against the general instruction. That is not possible. The general instruction must be followed. As their conversation continued, Prabhupada requested the bishop hear a tape of a recent class he had given. And as the bishop and his friends sat in their chairs and listened, Prabhupada, with grace and dignity, rested his head on his arm on the table in front of him and appeared to doze. The tape finished, and the bishop expressed appreciation for Prabhupada's message. Wishing Prabhupada Godspeed, the bishop and his friend, with prasadam in hand and in a jolly mood, left the cottage. Later that evening, Prabhupada remarked to his secretary that the Christians should give up their meat eating and then we could combine and preach with them. But first they must give up their meat eating. My comment. Prabhupada seemed to consider the bishop sincere, so he expressed hope that a cooperative preaching effort, Krishna consciousness and Christianity, might one day occur. Yet, I recently heard why Prabhupada may have played the tape for the bishop instead of speaking directly to him. After the bishop left, Prabhupada revealed to the devotees that he had smelled alcohol on the bishop's breath and had decided against preaching to him any further. Okay, we shall end here. Thank you. Hare Krishna.